Welcome to the Call Legacy podcast. I'm James Keys. That's Tunde Ogunlana. And for our call out this week, we're taking a look at the trans debate, which has picked up again. It's particularly trans athletes participating in women's sports, and which has picked up again lately. And you know, we really seem to be going in circles with this thing. You know, like what we've seen with the Algerian boxer Khalif and her having issues in terms of professional boxing. We've seen in the California high school athletes. We've seen a trans athlete winning first place in several women's events. And, you know, like my question to you, Tunde, is this. Why do you think our society has such a hard time dealing with this issue? Like, it seems like we're at the same place with this issue as we were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Like, we just seem to be in the same place and people just going in circles.
That's a great question, man. I think there's I'll split this into two, like if we had, you know, two different forks in a road. I think one is a genuine, you know, hesitation for something that is new and something that seems foreign to most of us in traditional society, which is, you know, questioning gender, people wanting to be a different gender, whether that's something that is, you know, a real biological issue or maybe a mental health or psychological concern.
All kind these of the questions, separating gender biology from gender identity is kind
correct.
Of-
yeah. All that stuff is a very murky conversation. And I'm going to be honest, like I'm an open-minded person, but I'm intimidated by the trans conversation because I'm a 47-year-old guy and it's new to me. Unlike, let's say, the homosexual conversation, which my whole life, I've known that gay people have been part of the equation of society. So that's not new to me, even though I'm a heterosexual guy. So transgender, the topic to me, and that's why I'm trying to be very eloquent as I say this. I'm not trying to make fun or be derogatory to trans people. I'm just being honest that it's something foreign to me. So that would be one fork of the road that I think it, the genuine kind of just, hey, this is new and this kind of seems a little bit funny and I don't really know what to think of it, blah, 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 that most people have. I think there's the other fork of the road, which is this has been a great tool politically to divide people on a partisan level. And so I think there's a lot of that that continues to go on as a way to distract a certain part of the public from information that otherwise might be negatively received about, you know, what their, you know, side of the culture or political discussion in our country is doing. So I think the trans issue has been a great way to throw maybe some of those people off the scent of what's going on otherwise in areas.
That said differently, it's like from that standpoint, what you're saying is that there's some people who don't want to solve the problem. Like, they, this is a very like helpful thing for them to have out there unresolved.
Yes. And to not like the immigration debate was until this year. You know, it was very convenient for a lot of people not to solve it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so asking the question on why we're still in the same spot, though. I mean, I think I would break down what you were just saying as like there are some people who can't decide who we should be trying to defend. Who's the person who is under threat here? Is it the women? Because we're talking specifically about women, trans athletes in women's sports specifically. We're not talking about bathroom use. We're not talking about somebody's right to live the life they want to live. Those issues, I think. We have at least the right as far as living the life you want to live. I think we there is a pretty solid consensus on that, that I don't see a bunch of people banging the drum publicly that people shouldn't be able to live the life they want to live. Where it comes into is when you live that life and how that bumps up against other people and their ability to live their life, which is always kind of the conflict of freedom. And so from what I'm hearing from you is like, okay, well, some people can't decide who they should be defending, who is at threat here? Is it the trans athlete that's at threat or is it the women who want to compete in women's sports? And then the other, you know, that's one. So that'd be one, that your kind of genuine thing. And then there's the other one, which is there's other people that don't want the issue solved. It's like, hey, this is working out for us. Let's keep this. This allows us to infinitely distract people, anger people, you know, and stuff like that, all of which things we can use to our benefit politically. So, and I think you summed it up very well in that way, you know, like those two reasons. So for me, though, when I look at it, though, I think that the first issue actually is the bigger problem, because with every issue, you know, like you pointed out with immigration, there are people who draw strength from people being divided and people being mad at each other. So that's with every issue that's out there. Some issues, though, are able to the people who want to help society move to a better place, are able to create a consensus. Like, I think gay marriage happened like that. Like, they even though there are plenty of people that made a lot of mileage on that politically for such a long time, eventually a consensus did form, and we were able to kind of not have it be a hot button issue. Whether some people still might not like it, some people don't care, whatever, but yeah, it's a consensus. Like, people aren't hot about it, you know, at all times, like we are about, like we seem to be with the trans issue coming up every time with the women's sports. And so I think the bigger issue we have here is that people, there seems to be a fundamental disagreement on which party needs help here. You know, like, because some people look at this and they're saying the women need help here. That we created women's sports not because we were looking at trans people and say, hey, let's kick them out. We created women's sports because that gives women an opportunity to compete. Whereas if we just had all gender sports, then after puberty hits, the women wouldn't be able to compete with the men. Before puberty hits, the women do compete with the men, and that's fine, like with the little kids and so forth. So we had a specific need in society, and we created this division or the women's sports stuff specifically for that. And so when you add trans people who are biological men into that, do you just undermine that whole thing? So that's some people that are looking like, hey, we got to defend the whole idea of women's sports, which was created for a specific reason that had nothing to do with trans people. And other people are saying, oh, trans people, you know, like they have a really hard lot in life. You know, like they're getting picked on. You know, their rates of, you know, like depression and things like that are super high because of the way society shuns them. We should help them normalize in this way, you know. And so this will help them normalize. And if it hurts the women, tough for the women. And for me, where I come down on the former, though. I mean, because I'm looking at, like, women have been discriminated against and treated poorly in societies, particularly patriarchal societies, for much longer than trans people have been. You know, like, so I have a daughter, I have a wife, I have a mom. I'm looking at this like, well, hold up. Let's not just say screw it to the women, you know, like where we have this thing set up and we're like, okay, now men can get in, or biological men, because the point of the reason why we keep the men out is because of the biology. It's not because of the identity. So that's, to me, that's it. There is a way to have compassion on this and come down on either side. And I think that's the biggest issue that we have right now, is that the compassion side is not aligned together, you know, because I can understand why somebody would have the opposite opinion as me and be coming from a place of compassion.
Yeah, it's interesting, man, because as you're talking at all, I was thinking about things like integration, right? I mean, that's something that a consensus had to be built.
Yeah.
And that was something that...
And it was very political beneficial for there not to be a consensus.
Correct.
For a long time.
I mean, we have history of politicians like Strom Thurmond, George Wallace, you know, that really benefited from being anti-integrationists. And also, think about it, James. For some people, maybe not you and I, you know, they think blacks are dirty. They think it's gross for people to
integrate. Interracial marriage is another
interracial
one.
Interracial,
you know,
marriage
that got dealt with at the Supreme Court. But I mean, like, yes, there are a lot of examples.
Correct.
Like this.
And they think that people would think that interracial relationships were like animals, you know, mating with each other. And so that's what I mean when I say the term gross. It's that, and going back to the book Sapiens that we did a show on, disgust is something that is real in the human emotional experience.
And the righteous mind. Remember, the righteous mind spent a lot of time on that too.
And about the reason is,
you know, it's involuntary almost in terms of how people can really be turned against something if you can activate disgust in them.
Yes. And the word involuntary is perfect, because it's an evolutionary trait. And that's why, because they said that the need, like, to be disgusted was important because it turned a human off from eating something that could be rancid or that could be poisonous or something like that. So there's something deep about when a human being becomes disgusted about something. And that's why, do you think that authoritarian leaders, let's say of the last 100 years, you know, a lot of their speeches have been recorded. What do they call people that are on the marginal parts of society? Yeah. Vermin, scum.
They're trying to activate disgust.
An invasion, right? That they're invading, like insects. And it gives us all these feelings of, like, a bunch of cockroaches coming into there. And that's a feeling we can all viscerally feel disgusted by, you know?
The intent of it is to make disgust so that you can then get the people to not pay attention to not ask questions, to just get on board with whatever we're doing.
Even, because my thing is cockroaches. So even though I hear myself say it, right? Like, think about it. If I saw an invading horde of cockroaches coming to my house, it would be very difficult, James, for you to try and stop me and have an intellectual conversation.
Yeah, don't
about
start
why.
Talking to me about habeas corpus.
Yeah, exactly. Or quid pro quos, you know, like all this fancy stuff. Like, hold on. Jane, what do you mean, Jane, that they're good for the ecosystem and that I shouldn't kill them and that all this stuff? Man, get these goddamn roaches out of my house. That's what I say, right? And so when you gin people up and you make them feel that this is just none of these invading and all this, I think that the trans topic becomes another one when you throw it's another log on the fire of disgust and of change that people don't like. And I want to be very clear as trying to be a fair-minded guy. I'm not trying to call a trans person disgusting. I'm just trying to say that it's just like interracial marriage back in the 60s when that topic was hot. A lot of people felt that a black person and a white person getting together was disgusting.
Yeah.
That it was just gross. And it was like, it would be like bestiality. And so this is part of it is cultural, right? Like back then, that was what the culture was. The culture is different now.
I appreciate you made that point because, we're not talking about our own personal feelings in certain things. We're talking about societal, the way these things play. Because the question is, how come as a society, we can't get to any kind of, consensus here? Or like, and my next question actually for you is going to be down that line. But just to kind of react to what you said, I think that you're onto something with that. And I think that we saw that more so play out in with the bathroom stuff. Because a lot of the bathroom stuff was just like, well, why do people care about this so much? And the bathroom is a place where people, there's a certain amount of what you want, privacy and things like that. And
right.
So that
was a place exactly. I thought that. And also the kids. Like,
the kids.
The way they talk about like a man would walk into your daughter's bathroom. That
exactly. So you could activate fear. You could activate disgust really easily with that. But with the sports thing, I don't like, there's the general idea. Oh, yeah, I don't like, but there's the sports thing. There's also these competing things about fairness and so forth. Again, because the place that I can't get around, I'm a logical thinker with a lot of these things. Like I of course I'm subjected to emotion and all that stuff, but with the sports thing, I look at that very differently as the bathroom and just the general stuff. Because on the other hand, or on those hands, I'm like, well, hey, we need to be more accommodating for people. But in the sports thing, the thing I can't get past is the idea that women's sports were created specifically to remove the women from competition with the men. Like that's the whole point. it wasn't about the women's gender identity and making them more comfortable around, banging against each other in basketball, boxing each other out. That wasn't about their identity. That was so that you didn't have some big dude trying to box out some woman. Even if she's big, she's not as big as him, most likely. So that, to me, that purpose of it, like, what's the purpose of women's sports if it's not that? Like, we have to come up with a different purpose for women's sports. If it's going to be about gender identity, then you get into the whole thing of, okay, well, are age ranges in sports, are those going to be subject to, identity as well? I may be, 40 something, but I feel, my biological clock says I'm 27,
I feel like I'm in middle school.
Or I should be able to play basketball
against middle school kids.
my point is that eligibility for sports is really not about your identity, hasn't been traditionally. And so it's a pretty big concession people are asking. And I just haven't seen the justification for that. Like, to me, if you want to create if you're saying it's not binary, we need to change the fact that we have a binary system. We need a third lane.
Yeah. I think that's why this topic of transgender is just complicated, just all around, because I think part of it is a technological conversation, because up until the last 20 years, we didn't have the medical technology to even pretend like this was possible, right? Like, and I don't mean to be vulgar or be sounding like I'm flipping here, but when I was a kid, right, we called people cross-dressers or transvestites, men that wanted to, let's say, just dress up like women, because the science, medical technology and science wasn't there for a man to actually get surgery in a certain way to remove his penis and put a vagina.
But this isn't about how they live in there. That was people just living their life, and that existed then. This is about, I want to compete with other people.
Yeah, but that's my point is saying is that, but a man back then wouldn't have shown up to a woman's sport as a man. That's what I mean. But it's now we have the ability for a man to have his penis cut off, to have his testosterone suppressed, to give him estrogen, to give him a vagina so that he can show up somewhere and say, I'm a woman now. That's just new. Like, they just couldn't do that before, because you're right.
Yeah, and with additional possibility, oftentimes additional challenges,
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
When something becomes an option, it's like, how do you deal with this option?
Correct. This is like new to humanity.
Yeah. So I want to ask, as we, the final part of this, do you think that this is something...
Oh, this isn't a four-hour conversation?
So, do you think this is something that... A consensus is possible, and I know this is forward thinking and possible to know, forward looking, possible to know. Like, something that we could form a consensus around, something like integration, you know, like where there can be a societal consensus about it. People might not be happy about it. People might resent it a little bit. Some people, you know, like, but, you know, like generally speaking, you know, you don't have people banging the drum for, people don't find it politically beneficial, at least not yet. I mean, hey, where we go in the next few years, we don't know, saying that we got to segregate the races. You know, like that's not something that people are politically out there saying, this is my thing, more or less. And again, and that's in 2025.
There's some less there.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to caveat that because this thing's going to exist for a while. Yeah. At least right now, we don't see that.
Yeah, they got to take certain people off websites because that's too intimidating.
Or do you, which people say anything on websites, you know, people, but, or do you see this as something that's more like abortion, which is more, which has lined up as more of a perpetual fight where there hasn't been any kind of consensus? Like we've lived through a, you know, swing back of the pendulum to the other side, you know, right now, like recently there was a pendulum swing in the 70s. And then we've lived through a second pendulum swing going back. And so that does shape up. Like there is not going to be some consensus where people start saying, hey, you know what, this is just what we're cool with. And that's another one of those issues where power can be derived from the division. But in that one, there's just more to it. And it does not seem like a consensus can form. So do you see this as more of kind of the former, where we probably will ultimately get to something, or the latter, where we won't?
So those who can't see us that are only listening won't see that I'm sipping on my cup of coffee on purpose very fast because I'm trying to get it half empty, because I'm going to be the glass half empty guy for James today. That's what we're going to be. I'm going to be the latter, not the former.
Okay.
To me, this topic will be more like abortion than integration. Because it's a great point you make, because I agree with you. There was a consensus on abortion. And in 1973, the Supreme Court, you know, made a ruling in a case of Roe versus Wade.
And well, in hindsight, I mean, you're right, though, it seems like it wasn't a consensus. And when something's not a consensus, basically, it's like whoever's in power, if they have enough power, they're going to flip it back. Like we don't have, and again, in, as of 2025, we don't have the Supreme Court looking to overrule the Board of Education. Like Brown v. Board of Education. We don't have that like push coming, but we have pushed some, the issues that are still swinging back and forth, depending on who's in power, versus the issues that like slavery, you know, seems to be one where it's kind of like, okay, we're kind of here, you know, at least outright slavery. I mean, again, you know, people do the stuff with the prison systems and all that, but like outright slavery, just, hey, you're going to be born. And because of the way you're born, you're going to be a slave for life. Like, so we've moved to a consensus, it appears, that that's not what we do. And so, but that's not depending on who's in power. So it's not a consensus, as in hindsight, at least it looked like a consensus. If you would have asked us in 1999, it looked like it was consensus. But now it's clearly it wasn't.
Well, I would say, just sticking with abortion as a consensus, I wouldn't say that now the consensus is no one thinks abortion should be legal or anything. I just think that
that's my point. Whoever's in power is just going to flip it back one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think the what's happened is the public, you know, the critical mass of the public has just kind of become apathetic, maybe even nihilistic. So as these forces change in power and these ideas begin to shift, most people kind of, you know, we're like all rudderless ships in the seas, just getting bounced around, and then you have loud voices on the fringes that are either for or against something. And I think those going back to now the sports and the, you know, the topic at hand with the transgender, I think that goes back to your question. It's a very good question of kind of who's being protected. Cause you're right. There's a group here who's saying you got to protect the trans people and their ability to participate. And it's only fair, it's blah, blah, blah.
For them,
and then,
for their
psyche, and then like you were saying, you got people are saying, well, I got a daughter in sports, or I got, you know, this and that, and that, or I'm a girl that's playing sports. And I don't think it's fair that somebody who may have the chromosomes and it has already gone through puberty as a male or something like that gets to compete with me, because my body now, from a muscle tissue development and all that, is not the same as a man. Yeah. Or at least from a chromosomal level.
I don't even think that fair is the right word. It's like not consistent with the point of women's sports. Like the point of women's sports was one particular thing. You're like, this was not something that was like, oh, you know, let's keep, like, when, you know, like you have things like, you know, the segregation in the sports segregation, it was like, okay, yeah, we're going to make these rules because we want to keep them out. Like that wasn't why women's sports was created. Women's sports was created. Like, so it's inconsistent with what it was created for. And so that's where I'm just like, well, how do we reconcile that? Like that need existed then. Are we saying that need doesn't exist now? You know, so,
well,
but
no,
go ahead.
Reconciliation, James, is yes, that's the political and the societal one, which is, to your point, I mean, this is the argument, right? Is delineating allowing an adult over 18 in the United States to have the freedom to do what they wish with their body. That's most Americans would say, we're okay with that. You get tattoos, you want to smoke cigarettes, you want to drink, you know, whiskey and kill your insides. That's on you. Now, under 18, we've made laws as a country to say, you know, kids can't do long, kids aren't allowed to do things on their own that could have long-term side effects like get tattoos or, you know, or even driving a car at a certain age. Yeah, like we don't let 8-year-old kids drive cars, you know, like we do have limits for certain things. So I do think, and you and I have discussed this on air and in private, you know, this is where, let's say, the side, the fringe that wants to support trans, and I want to hear I am saying the fringe of the people that are supporting, not maybe the mainstream support.
And again, but you're talking about trans in sports.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm talking a bit in general, which is the idea of hormone therapy and doing all that on children under 18.
On children, okay, so that's another specific issue.
But I'm just giving an example, right? When in other parts of our societal life, like vaccines or like other pharmaceutical drugs, we generally believe that maybe these companies should be doing tests on animals and primates for a generation or two to see how it works out. The trans issue is the only one that I've ever seen where you're really doing something that could have a long-term effect to a human being, suppressing their hormones as they're naturally developing and giving them the hormones of the other sex. We don't know what that looks like when somebody's 60, 70 years old when they had that done at 13. And so
on that, though, is also that, and you're doing so, you're saying that, hey, like usually parental consent is required for that type of stuff. And so the
A whole other conversation. That some states don't require it. So just
but
to
we're going
thoughts,
a little further out from where we're talking.
And that's why I'll just finish my thought because I know you want to keep moving. Is that's where I'm saying the fringe side of the supporters of that don't, they haven't recognized, let's say, that that topic is the one that most Americans do have an issue with, that part of the topic. When you're an adult, do what you want. That's America. But when you're a kid, and I think the sports stuff, getting back to the sports, we're dealing with this all when we're talking about kids' sports, and that's why it becomes a political football that can divide the public. Because all of us care about our kids. And if we have daughters, like you have a daughter who's in basketball right now, that's a question. Like, okay, well, when she's 16, well, if there's a kid now, a boy who had a growth spurt, and he's now that I was 6'4" when I was 16. And what if I decided at that age, at that height, beginning to develop the way I was, that I now want to be a girl? Is that fair that I'm
going to think the height is the issue, man, because there's 6'4" girls. Like the issue is like things like muscle density, like physiological things that are different that like men are differently built, you know, like on average and then across the board. And then if you go up the higher end, so I mean, I think that like the height is one thing. Like if you got to play against somebody taller than you, fine, but it's not the same. And that's, again, that's why we created these women's sports. And the issue on the hormone therapy, like that's one of the issues that I didn't want to go into that, but just like some of the proposals, again, people trying to be, you know, have compassion here. We're like, oh, well, you got to start the therapies. Then if you want to compete with women, you got to start the therapies before puberty. Cause that's when the distinguishing really happens. Yeah. And it's like, well, but that does raise a whole nother issue. Like, well, you're really test monkey in that, you know, like to where we don't know, like, what if that causes cancer, you know, for everybody when they hit 30, they just die from cancer. Now I'm not one to say you can't make mistakes, but in that situation, it's just, I'm looking at parental consent. Like if your parents say, yeah, you can be the test monkey, then, you know, I'm not going to be the one that says you can't. But the only other thing I'll say, and then I'll close this up to your point about adults, like even when you're an adult though, and this would go to the sports thing and like the Algerian boxer and so forth, you can do what you want to the extent that it doesn't impede substantially on somebody else's rights. So you're allowed to drink whiskey, yes. You're allowed to drive cars, yes. But you can't really do both because then you are impinging on other people's ability to enjoy their freedom. You know what I'm saying? So there is some limit, and I don't know what the limit is necessarily, but whenever we have this conversation, again, I just go back. I need to understand what's the purpose of women's sports. Is it about – it was about biology. If you're going to say it's about identity now, you need to – like there needs to be more to that. You know, and again, if it's not binary, then let's not make it binary. We have a binary system. If it's not a binary gender thing, then we need to create some other lane. You know, is kind of my thought. And I don't think it has to be complicated if you go to the purpose of things. You know, and again, unless we're saying it was an illegitimate purpose to create women's sports, like that was illegitimate all along, we never should have done it, then unless that purpose is no longer needed anymore, then we should try to maintain that. And to me, I don't think that's being unfair or lacking compassion because, hey, how can we accommodate more people But I don't know that just jamming them into what we have now is the way we accommodate them. So,
well, you know, speak for yourself. Until this is solved, I'm going to go try out for the WNBA. 47-year-old at 6'4", I might be able to still, you know, compete a bit, hey, throw man, some
you
elbows.
You play D1 college basketball. You got something if you need. I don't know if your knees will agree with you
I'll
on
be,
that.
Well, I'll be a great rebounder because I, you know, do like Barkley, you know, move my butt around. But yeah, I think we can wrap it up when I'm talking about playing for the WNBA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's the signal that we lost the plot.
It won't be a 4-hour talk.
But no, I think we can wrap this from there. So we appreciate everybody for joining us on this call out. Again, I'm James Keys.
I am Tunde Ogunlana.
All right. Subscribe to the podcast, rate it, review it, tell us what you think, send it to a friend, and we'll talk to you soon.